22nd, 2015. Oh, what day is this? The day they smoked John F. Kennedy. 11-22-63. 11-22, the great number 33. So it is 11-22-2015, the anniversary of the murder of the last president of the United States before the coup solidified. Welcome to the program, Incendiary Radio. It's Robert coming at you from St. Louis. Got a couple guests tonight. Owner of the network, John Stattmiller, wants to come on and holler at y'all, so take it away, John.
How you doing there, Robert?
I'm good. You doing all right, John?
Hanging in there, my friend. Hanging in there. Hey, I just wanted to just thank you for anchoring this Sunday night. We used to have a show here that was pretty popular, and you've just blown the doors off of that. So I'd like to thank you for that, number one.
Thanks you, John, for giving me the expanded hours.
Well, as long as the board ops don't mind working till 1 o'clock in the morning, hey, no problem. No problem whatsoever. Hey, I know you got a guest standing by, and I'll be interested in hearing what's going on. I just wanted to remind folks, Robert, there was a lot of people that on your program and mine as well offered monthly pledges to the network. I know it's Thanksgiving week. It's coming up Thursday. And I know Christmas is next year. I won't be celebrating either. I might even be doing a show Thursday. I don't know. If I can convince the staff to come in, we might have to do that. But it's coming to the end of the year, and people, Robert, that have made pledges for donations, or if you really value Robert's show, as I do, and I know a lot of people do, please keep us on the air. Help us out here. We're doing our level best to have people that are straight business people trying to do some advertising for the network. We've done all our budget cuts, Robert. You and I have talked about that extensively. And we've got the network on some pretty firm ground, but every once in a while it gets a little shaky. So I just wanted to remind listeners, and especially your listeners, I know that they're extremely loyal to your program, and I hope they're checking out the rest of the programming on the network. Rick Adams, my program, new guy we just put up on Saturday morning from Ireland, P.J. Barton. Very interesting fellow, has never done radio before, and he did a pretty doggone good job. I think he's going to be a stellar addition to this network. So a lot of good things happening, Robert. I won't take up any more of your time. Just remind people, if you've got an urge tonight, you know what's coming up next month, and going, oh gosh, you know, I won't be able to donate next month. Well, donate now. Call 800-724-2719. Hit extension 3. That'll take you right up to that fine guy up there that's going to be doing a lot of producing for your show tonight, Robert. A lot of videos. Guests and callers, of course, always callers. So you can do that, or go to the network, the webpage itself, or the network, I should say, republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button located at the top of the page. It's PayPal. Please be generous, and your pledge to this network will be returned by programming such as you're hearing right now. So Robert Raybould, thanks for letting me steal a few minutes. I thank you so much, and thank you for the program that you're doing on RBN.
All right, John, I appreciate you having me, and you know, I've given to the network personally, and so I, you know,
so have I.
Yeah, I know you have. I mean, this is your lifeblood, and so I dig it. And so, you know, listeners, you know, I've never made a dime doing this, one red cent. I just say, hey, keep the network on the air so we can keep the programming going out. And, that's about it. I don't ask for money. I don't have a website to donate to or any of that. There's a few programs on this network that I really, really live for. Farron and Rick and John and some of the other ones. And so, that's that. So I appreciate you, John.
Okay, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. See ya. So I got tonight coming on as my first guest. It's a YouTuber that I just lately, I mean, I really have been getting a lot of cutting edge information from, and he goes by the handle Spiro, S-P-I-R-O, and I was on with Dr. Jim Fetzer last week, and I was plugging Spiro's YouTube channel, and he's on top of a lot of things. Okay, hey, is this Spiro? Hey, welcome to the show, man. I've been following your stuff for a while now, and I wanted to get you on because just lately with Paris and everything going on, and so I noticed this today on your channel. Crimea. So basically, Spiro was covering that the entire power grid for Crimea went down. The transmission towers, what's going on with Crimea is basically the lines from Ukraine were cut. 1.9 million people affected. And so, that was one of his latest videos. And, you know, this is probably, as we know, payback going on. You had the Russian plane that gets bombed, and now Crimea, which voted to be annexed by Russia, now just got basically its power turned off. And so, I just wanted to throw that out there. We're still having problems contacting, Spiro. So let's see here. France. There's been massive numbers of raids. Okay. Weapon seizures all over France. There was like 100 and something of them in one day. And so France is going under full blown martial law. All right. Now this is an article from, Dr. Kevin Barrett. Okay. From yesterday. False flag terror madness. Brussels, Paris under martial law. Europe is now a militarized concentration camp thanks to Gladio B. And I was just on with Kyle Hunt over on Renegade in the last probably about 20 minutes of his show. He asked me to come on and we were talking about this Gladio B. Basically Gladio A. 1950 through 1990, tons of terror attacks in Europe. Basically, they set it up to blame on communists, and a lot of it was synthetic NATO terror ops by the usual black bag suspects. And so, Dr. Barrett and Preston James and some of these guys over in that sector, they're calling this whole thing Gladio B, version B, which is basically now, Muslims are basically set up to basically take the brunt, with these synthetic terror ops. Not that there aren't, loony tech theories and Salafists out there. There are. There are plenty of Wahhabist nuts. But when you're looking at these big terror attacks where the military, mobilizes, where the occupied news media, blows them up and they just become these massive, you know, spectacles, then you have to start looking deeper. Do we got Spiro?
I'm right here.
All right, man. Sorry about all the confusion.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it happens.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And so I was just reading an article by Dr. Kevin Barrett about basically Brussels, Paris, the martial law, this false flag. And so you were one of the guys right out in front with this Paris operation. And I was just kind of going through like one of your videos. The massive number of raids, weapon seizures, 3 months of extended emergency powers by Hollande, internet censorship, so forth and so on. So go ahead and, you know, just give us a rundown of what you're seeing.
Well, yes. The Paris, France situation, that is a doozy there, and it's ongoing. Essentially, you know, I mean, we all see the news. We've all heard about what had happened there or what is reported to be, you know, the situation. Mm-hmm. Regardless, you know, of how many times the story changes and all that, the the end result, the goals are the same at the end of the day. So we have seen, yes, close to 800 raids in the first week, you know, that, that this right after this attack. So going back a little bit, the Charlie Hebdo attack that took place back in January happened about 1300 feet away from the Bataclan Theater.
Amazing.
right. Yeah. So these events, when they take place, like right after the Charlie Hebdo event, there was a guy, you know, that was involved. He was a first responder there. Perlot, I think his name is.
Yeah, Patrick Perlot.
Yeah, I don't speak French very well, so forgive my mispronunciations. So this situation took place. France passed massive surveillance measures right after that. And, you know, of course, the mainstream media and the propaganda is flowing heavily, and the people are living in a state of fear after that, you know, due to this propaganda. Well, then this event happens here in the Paris attacks, where there was multiple attacks that took place. And, of course, again, right afterwards, they introduce sweeping legislation that covers, internet censorship, which is a big time, something big time that we have to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, it not only does it justify removing the people's rights and civil liberties, they extended the 3-month, it was initially a 12-day state of emergency, extended to 3 months, but it also justifies their foreign war campaigns, you know, justifies going after Iraq and Syria, the, Islamic State headquarters, so to speak. So, false flags have happened throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they use them. It's a political, agenda that they use to take away people's rights and then justifies foreign wars.
Now, let's get into this company called Accenture. Now, I saw something probably a few days ago on your site where basically you were talking about the United Nations High Commission on Refugees awarding a big contract to this company, Accenture, to basically a biometric system to track refugees around the world, and it's been used in some African countries and in Thailand. I've been looking into this company, and what's really freaky about this Accenture, which used to be connected to Arthur Anderson, it used to be Anderson Consulting, and then some Norwegian employee comes up with the name Accenture, like it's towards the future, accent towards the future, and this is what it means. And then I kept doing some digging because that piqued my interest. And then I saw that Homeland Security has a biosurveillance contract with this company, Accenture. And now these guys are the ones running healthcare.gov for the United States. And this is some freaky stuff. So what do you know about this whole biometric Accenture thing? Cause you brought it up and you had an article on YouTube about it. And I thought it was fascinating. I start digging and it's like, these guys are into all kinds of stuff.
Right. Well, all of these, we have to recognize and realize that all of these quote unquote crises that are taking place right now are engineered.
Yeah.
And they have specific goals in mind, end game goals. So,
yeah.
In order to achieve these goals, they can't just go directly towards those goals because they would meet resistance from the public. Mm-hmm. And, so they have to engineer a bad guy or a crisis or whatever to where they can offer the solution, that the people want after they're experiencing this crisis, that ultimately ends up at their end game goal. And this is known as the Hegelian dialectic. It's, mm-hmm. Problem, reaction, solution. So, in my opinion, and from what I have seen, yes, they have rolled out a program, and it's been in the works. Like you said, they have been testing it and operating it on large groups of population. And it's called ID4D. And mm-hmm. this is a contract rolled out to Accenture to where they this is a program where they will biometrically track everyone, you know, all the refugees at this point in time. So, and I did that video, I don't know, it was like a month ago or I forget, but, and I talked about in that video how there's going to come a point through this manufactured refugee crisis to where they get their assets in place and there will be, you know, attacks or false flags or some kind of events will take place to where, people will really start to want, you know, they'll start to speak out and stand against this mass influx of refugees that are coming in. So at that point in time, the people are going to be screaming and demanding, why aren't we keeping track of these refugees, you know? And so, well, wouldn't you know it, the UN and the World Bank have a plan, an agenda already in place, ready to go. And this is that ID40 program. And eventually, and we see throughout history as well, that everything ends up coming back on the people. So what I see happening, and this is already taking place in Japan to some degree, they are going to implement this on the people, in my opinion, my belief. You know, they want biometrics, they want complete control, identification, surveillance, all of it. Your banking card, your ID, your passport, everything all on one card, easily tracked into a database, mainland database. I believe, I want to say it was in Switzerland off the top of my head, or Sweden. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, of course, counterterrorism agent, they'll have access to this database. And this could go very easily right into the same network as the Strong Cities Network. I mean, all these different things are intertwined to some degree, whether it be the, you know, the refugee crisis, these UN agendas that are being put into place. You know, it's all related, and it's meant to, you know, destabilize regions to where they can come in as the saviors and implement their agenda.
Yeah. Now, here's what's hilarious. Accenture engaged in a very large and ambitious IT overhaul project for the NHS in Britain in 2003, making headlines when it withdrew from the contract in 2006 over disputes related to delays and cost overruns. The government of the UK ultimately abandoned the project 5 years later. And so these guys, they've been involved in all these crazy, and then listen to this. In 2001, it offered its IPO, initial public offering, $14.50 a share at the New York Stock Exchange. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley served as its lead underwriters. I mean, the whole thing basically, it's so bad. And then you got Tiger Woods was a celebrity spokesperson and, basically, they yanked his sponsorship deal. It seems like everything they put their hands on is crap. And now these are the guys basically overseeing Obamacare now, and they're contracted with DHS and now contracted with the UN and the World Bank. And it's just one big sloppy, basically what I think is basically eventually some sort of mark of the beast system eventually is going to come out of all this through crises. Do you agree kind of like with that assessment?
Right. I do. And the way that they set these up, it's an incremental process. I mean, they obviously can't come right out and say, yeah, you know, here's the mark of the beast, you know. But for example, here, and in other countries, they're already talking about and removing the magnetic strips on, you know, credit cards, for example. And then they're going to introduce the RFID type chips into the cards.
Oh, I'm getting them all. All my cards right now I'm getting in the mail are being replaced with the ones with the chips in them.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that'll be a temporary, solution or temporary means here. And there'll be hacks and, you know, breaches of security and we'll see, you know, some crises happen. There'll be some big headline making news, that happens to where they'll eventually phase out that RFID or integrate it with another type of technology, and it'll progress to the next stage at that point.
All right, there's the break, folks. We'll see you guys on the other side. IncendiaryChat.chattango.com, IncendiaryRadio.chattango.com are the two chat rooms. We'll see you guys on the other side. Spiro from the Spiro YouTube channel, UndergroundWorldNews.com. Incendiary Radio with Spiro from his YouTube channel, and he's part of Underground World News. Now, let's talk about YouTube and the future, where you see YouTube going. There's some other spinoffs, people doing their own sort of video channels because, I mean, how many people, because I've been seeing this, how many people do you know of out here that you deal with that have had their channels yanked in the last, let's say, few months because of coverage of all these psyops and so forth and so on?
Well, I would say that we see censorship on a daily level, a daily basis. We see censorship taking place. Channels get yanked all the time. We constantly get attacked by trolls and shills, and it's all part of psychological warfare. That, yeah, this is a part of the game here.
Now, as far as I know, Tracebook's the worst, but as it seems now that YouTube is really going, really starting to really go after some people and just yank their entire channels. I know Professor Dooms, I've interviewed him a few times, and a bunch of these guys have lost their entire, basically, their entire channels and had to start from ground. Russian Vids, some of these other guys. Do you talk to these guys and, about, how to protect your videos and that sort of stuff?
Well, I like Doom. I talk with Doom. Russian Vids, they do, these guys do great work. There's a lot of people out there doing great work. When it comes down to it, essentially they could hammer you or nail you for whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly. We'll pick this up on the other side. We got a long segment coming up. Incendiary Radio, folks. All right, folks, we're back. Incendiary Radio. So, I got Spiro from YouTube on, a good sized YouTube channel, does a lot of great work. And we're talking about the future of YouTube and as far as being able to get research out there. Guys like Freedom Fighter 2127 have really tried, kind of almost backed out of YouTube, who he was doing some really good work. How long do you think the environment's going to be even, you know, tolerable for guys like you to keep doing what you do through that medium?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to keep doing what I can do until they shut it down or shut me down. I'm not going to stop. And, you know, at the end of the day, we need support from the people out there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
People that want the truth, that don't want to just eat the mainstream media garbage, you know, they're going to have to show us love and support. And people do. I mean, there's so many people out there that do show us love and support. But realistically, they could shut us down tonight, tomorrow. I mean, you just don't know. You don't take it for granted, without a doubt.
Well, you know, what I noticed about you guys and, you know, this crew of what I call false flag decoders, psyop decoders, hoax decoders, it's probably on the very cutting edge about the quickest of disseminating the information out there. It's like, When something's going damn near live time, many of you guys are out there and you're already on it to where even digital, you know, the websites, you know, the alternative media outfits, they're days behind you guys. And I've been trying to tell this to my audience. I'm like, look, you don't have to fully, you know, trust one YouTube researcher, but when you look across them and you get a whole family of them together and basically, there's a bunch of you guys that I watch, and it's just like, look, I can kind of get a mental picture of what's going on, not from any single one of you, but kind of by looking at the plethora of all of you guys together and then kind of triangulating it in my own mind and through my own research and my own knowledge base to where I just think you guys, a lot of you guys are out here at the forefront, and you can find out if an incident's bogus or not way before you can through some of these big alt media outfits who are now basically compromised and damn near shilling. Go ahead. What do you think about that?
Well, that's right. I mean, you can just look at the content, take a listen, and decide for yourself. And that's the whole thing is about it, is you need to look at everything with discernment and then – find some good outlets and people putting out good information and, you know, keep a close eye on those guys. And there is a lot of us out there, a lot of people out there doing some excellent work. There is, you know, like you said, a good network. I mean, we live, eat, breathe and sleep this stuff. I mean, we're in this battle and we're all in this together, you know?
Yeah. So let's kind of run through some of the other stuff. The Strong Cities Network, Loretta Lynch, connected with the United Nations Human Rights Council, now headed by the Saudis. What is just the mental illness here? So you've got our Attorney General sitting as basically a counterpart, now with one of the heads of Saudi Arabia, which I know, you know, Jones and some of these people, they're really trying to turn the guns on Saudi Arabia, like Saudi Arabia runs something. And I have to always say, look, Saudi Arabia was set up by British intelligence and they're basically pawns of the crown. And so many people just lose it here and they don't realize that it's like, look, the Saudis, they're joined at the hip with the Israelis and joined at the hip with the City of London. And, but it's still sick to have a Saudis sitting on the High Commission on Human Rights when they act the way they do in their own country. Go ahead.
Well, right. I mean, it's just blatant in your face. It shows what a joke this whole system is, you know, and a lot of people still don't have a clue what the Strong Cities Network even is. And like you stated, at the UN General Assembly, the 70th UN General Assembly that took place in Manhattan, the UN headquarters, back in the end of September, she came out and announced a global police force to combat extremism, violent extremism, and they were partnering with the UN. So essentially, if an event were to take place, and right after, if you remember back, right after they announced this, and right after this UN General Assembly took place, there was that shooting that took place in Oregon.
Umpqua. Yeah.
Yes, at the community college.
Yeah, that was shady, too.
It was, absolutely. And yeah, that would be the type of event to where the UN and the feds would come in and claim jurisdiction and essentially take over, you know, any kind of investigation or anything like that. It ties in, the Strong Cities Network ties in with all the other UN agendas that are being pushed, like the TPP, which is overseen by the UN Security Council, as well as this 2030 agenda and this climate conference that they have coming up here in Paris, France, where they want to put into place an international climate law. So they already have their global police force, and now they're going to have an international climate law. I mean, they're setting the stage and the framework for global governance at this point.
Yeah, you know what's fascinating? What's fascinating about this climate conference that's about to go down in Paris, by the way, listeners. You know, I was talking to Dr. Jim Fetzer. I had him on last week, and I kind of ran this by you while we were during the break talking, and I'm like, look, now, You covered in some of your latest couple of videos, internet censorship law going on in France. Searches of electronic devices at the whim of the police, at the authorities, whenever they want. So you got a tablet, phone, computer, whatever. They can just come in and search all your electronics in France right now. Website blocking. Dissolution of associations going on. So any kind of association you might have belonged to over in France, if the state deems it dangerous, you know, the Front National, whatever, you know, and you even mentioned that French politicians are mentioning internment camps. And now you're going to have the big climate conference there. When all this is going on, this state of emergency, it's a perfect environment for the cabal to do whatever they want under the cover of a state of emergency. No protests, no nothing, because the hammer's dropped on France now, right, when they're going to try to pass all these goofy carbon taxes or whatever the hell they got up their sleeve with this climate conference. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, without a doubt, people need to be paying attention to what is taking place in France. And there's a lot of, like you said, censorship going on there now, to where a lot of the information coming out of there is being controlled. They are, like we talked about earlier, they're conducting 100 plus raids a night, on people, right? So who they claim they believe had, you know, ties to terrorism or whatever. So how is it the day after this attack or the false flag, all of a sudden they have all this intelligence on, you know, close to 800 targets?
Yeah, and where were they before?
Exactly. So, and they're going and they're confiscating guns and they're confiscating other valuables and money. And so, I mean, when the government controls the information, they control the story, everything. They control everything. So they could come knock down your door, you know, and say, hey, this guy has ties to terrorism or extremism. You know, take your guns, secret police, lock you away. I mean, this is happening right now. This is not like a, you know, what if or whatever. I mean, this is things that we need to pay attention to. And they put into place this state of emergency. And on top of that, the president, they want to amend their constitution. They want to change the constitution of that country. So, and of course they use terrorism to justify this. You know,
But what's fascinating is out of the same mouth that says this, he's like, oh, by the way, we're going to take in 30,000 more refugees.
Well, yes, of course.
This is how you know that the entire thing is synthetic though. And then, like a lot of the people out in like kind of like the pro-white sector, they're like, oh my God, you see these people? And it's just like, I'm like, look, you gotta look deeper. If these politicians, if they're so worried about terrorism, the very next day they wouldn't be like, oh, by the way, we're taking in 30,000 more, because they're not serious about it. Now listen to this. I got this clip I wanted to play for you. This is from 25 years ago, listening audience. This is Brian Lamb the legendary C-SPAN guy from 1990. He's interviewing two guys, Dan Raviv and Yossi Melman, two Jewish guys, and they wrote this book. It's about the Mossad and Israeli intelligence. It's called Every Spy a Prince. This is from 1990. Play clip six, Mr. Producer.
This is a 1990 book notes excerpt where Brian Lamb interviews authors Dan Raviv and Yossi Melman. The book title is Every Spy a Prince, The Complete History of Israel's Intelligence Community.
Plots against the state of Israel, political plots and others.
You tell the story about how you try to find out what they call the Mossad when they deal with publicly?
I thought it was a reasonable question, but the trouble is you can't pick up the phone book. There's no Langley in Israel that you can look up, you know, CIA or in our case the Mossad. We thought we should ask, what shall we call it in English? You can translate the Hebrew words, as I said, Mossad is institute. But when they write a letter to their friends in the CIA or the British intelligence, what do they call themselves? It took a while. It was a matter of asking the prime minister's spokesman. The best you could do, because officially the Mossad is under the prime minister's office. And I think he sort of wondered why you want to know and all that, so we explained. And he came up with the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. I mean, if it were to have initials, it would be ISIS. Just simple words like that. Interestingly enough, for a kind of a British model.
Okay, you can stop it there, Mr. Producer. 25 years ago, two Jewish authors write a book about the Mossad, and they say, what's the real name of the organization when they communicate with other intelligence agencies? Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, ISIS, ISIS. And then he said that's a spin-off of the British model. See, the MI6, its other name is the Secret Intelligence Service, SIS. And then if you go over to the nation of Pakistan, guess what they're called? The ISI. You see, you make these strange connections, but I wanted to just throw that by you. A 25-year-old clip. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it says everything that we need to know. I mean, it doesn't get any more black and white, any more plain and obvious than that. I mean, there is no doubt, and it's come out in Defense Intelligence Agency reports, that the U.S. and the West fund, train, create, arm, protect, and provide logistic support to these same terrorists that we're supposedly having a war on terror with, and now a global war on terror, as the UN just recently came out and announced that IS poses a grave risk to the global stability. So what France did, one of the many things that they did right after this false flag terror attack, was they requested from the EU the mutual defense clause, I believe is what they called it. And they asked specifically for military support in their foreign operations and relief of that military support. And the EU unanimously approved it for the first time in history. So we're seeing what is called proxy wars. And to have a global governance and to implement that global government, just like anything else, you need to have a global bad guy. You need to have that threat, that justification. And that's what these proxy wars and these proxy armies, that's who they are. That's what they do. That's the destabilization programs. The end game goal is they want to take Assad out of power in Syria and install their own puppet regime, just like they did in Ukraine and Libya and Iraq and countless other countries that do not have Western central banks. So, one of the main reasons that I've come across for this purpose, aside from, you know, global domination and, you know, banking, the bankers and all that, Saudi Arabia and Qatar want to run pipelines that would go through Syria up into Europe. Mm-hmm. And these pipelines would greatly threaten Russia's Gazprom, natural gas pipeline that supplies nearly 50% of the natural gas going into Europe. So that is, a reason why Mr. Putin and Russia have intervened there and have actually bombed the CIA-trained, backed, what they like to call moderate rebels, but there is no moderate rebels. I mean, we're, airdropping arms and I mean, I could go on and on.
Toyota, fleets of Toyotas. They're running around with our howitzers. You know, I was in the Marine, and if you ever have to desert your howitzer, your weapon, you got to throw an incendiary device into the tube to ruin it. But these guys are running around with perfectly good Hummers, howitzers, tanks. This stuff was given to them to overthrow Assad. I mean, I really think the big picture is to take down Shia Islam completely because it doesn't want to play ball with the, with this big New World Order. They want to build this fake Sunni caliphate that stretches from Saudi Arabia all the way across to Turkey. And then you're going to have Greater Israel sitting right under it, this expansionist Israeli empire. And I think that's the big, kahuna in the region. And then Iran, Hezbollah, and Syria got to go. They got to be pounded in order for this vision to come to fruition. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, General Wesley Clark came out and stated seven countries in 5 years, and that was years ago, and he laid out the whole plan there at that point in time. And so, yes, the Levant is what that area is known as, and that's why they call the Islamic State of Syria and the Levant, so ISIL. So at the end of the day, we need to remember and know and recognize who exactly is behind this manufactured terror threat and who stands to gain from these false flag attacks that take place, whether they're in France or in the U.S. or anywhere for that matter. We're hearing all kinds of, reports of threats here in the U.S. and everywhere. And we have the holidays coming up, and there's going to be a lot of people out at, Black Friday and certain Thanksgiving Day parades and a lot of soft targets out there. And, all it would take is some type of event, and Obama and that administration could enact a state of emergency, suspending all elections. I mean, it's a possibility. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, so let's take the break, and we got a short segment, and I'll wrap it up with you. Incendiary Radio, folks, keep listening. Sunday nights, RBN. Remember to just throw RBN a few bucks, folks. Keep us on the air. I don't get any money out of this. The board op sitting down there in Texas right now, he's got to get paid. Remember that. That's all I'm saying. Just basics to keep the network going. So we're finishing up with Spiro from his YouTube channel. A lot of views, does a lot of great videos. He keeps up on a lot of great stuff. And so, I'm going to have him back from time to time, on the show. We were just talking off the air. And so let's big picture. We got about 3 minutes left before I got to let you go. I got another guest coming on, but so as him and I both feel similar, a lot of people were saying this with GW Bush 43's, people were scared of him not leaving office, but it happened. And, the environment wasn't near as crazy as it is now, though, with the level of psychological operations and basically hoaxes and false flags going on. There's been so many of them. I mean, I'm losing track of them. Are you having the same problem trying to recall all of them that have been ran on us in the last, just 2 years alone?
Well, yeah, that's part of the psychological operation right there,
to run so many operations that people forget about them.
Yeah, you can't keep track. There's so much disinformation being put out there by these intelligence agencies that are controlling the mainstream media that are owned by a very, small handful of corporations and people. Yeah.
I keep meaning to compile a list of the lone gunman, fake shooter, MK Ultra, whatever you want to call these shootings, Umpqua, Charleston, Garland, Virginia reporter shooting hoax, all these. I keep meaning to get it just to compile a list because I'm starting to forget them.
Right. Well, right now we live in an extremely critical and important and special time in this country and in this reality, if you want, whatever you want to call it. And one thing, if I can stress to anyone and everyone out there, is that you, the individual, the people have the power. Don't ever forget that. They want to present to you, you know, an option or a choice of left or right, red or blue, Pepsi or Coke, whatever. At the end of the day, those are false options. It's deceit at its finest. It's part of the propaganda, and it gets us distracted away from the real issues. A lot of these events, whether it be a false flag or a shooting or whatever, it gets our attention over here, and we don't realize what's going on the other hand, whether it's, you know, the TPP or whatever else is going on. I mean, there's a lot of things happening right now.
Yeah, it's basically complete overload. They want to put people in a mental fetal position to where they just ball up and they give up. And, you know, I was talking on another network earlier, and I was like, look, you know, and I was talking last night on another show, and I'm like, look, man, the last thing we can do right now is capitulate and give up and just let this thing run roughshod over us. I mean, if a significant portion of us would all just open our mouths and basically do what's necessary and to basically go up against this wicked system, it would back off. But unfortunately, so many people love their servitude, and they think that this is an insurmountable foe that we're up against, and it's not. And so, you know, we got about a minute left. Anything else you want to throw out there?
I just want to thank everybody out there for all the love and support. The time is now. We're running out of time. The hammer's, I think, is ready to drop, and you can take action. You have power. Don't ever forget that. The individual holds the keys to unlocking everything. The universe, you name it. And thank you.
Yeah, I thank you for coming on, man. I'll be in touch.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
See ya.
When I hit that old dusty trail, I hit it hard like a nail. I had my fair share of hard times.
All right, folks, we're back. In your radio, hour number two. So everybody check out Spiro's YouTube channel, folks. I mean, he's one of the guys where he's out there in front of a lot of this crap breaking stuff. You know, I didn't know that damn near 2 million people in Crimea got their power whacked. So they took out power to the Crimea. And so, you know, that's how you find out about stuff like this, right when it's happening. My next guest, Mr. John Friend, been on the program a couple times before, therealistreport.com. And the last time I had John on, we were discussing, his incident with the city government of Escondido, California, which I used to hang out in Escondido when I was stationed out there, in San Diego in the military. So John's been busy, and he's been, attending some conferences, and he got himself a free speech award. So John, welcome back.
Hey man. Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me back on. I appreciate it.
Right on. So let's talk about the free speech award and the conferences. You've been up in the DC area. I was up there in 2012. It's an interesting part of the country, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You know what? It was a great trip. I was out there for quite a while. I was out there for 10 straight days.
Yeah.
And, met a lot of really cool people at the conference, met some cool people just, you know, out and about in the city. So it was a great time. I originally went out there. It was a couple days before the NPI Become Who We Are conference got started. And that took place actually on Halloween.
Now explain to folks NPI and just a brief, you know.
So it's essentially, I mean, from what I understand, it's essentially a sort of white nationalist think tank. It's directed by Richard Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has a history sort of in the conservative movement. I think he was the editor for the American Conservative, and he was affiliated with Tacky Mag, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know all of his details, but you know, he's a pretty intelligent guy, pretty sharp guy. He organized this conference, and they do these conferences once a year at least, I think. That he tried to do a big one over in Budapest and it wound up getting thrown in jail by the Hungarian government. So this one was much more successful. Again, it was at the National Press Club.
Now I wonder if the government of Hungary now is feeling sorry that they did that, now that you're being unloaded on with quote unquote refugees. They've seemed to turn a little corner over there, haven't they?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that their president Orban, I mean, he's really saying some important things.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this conference, it was good. It was a really good, you know, it was a very nice place, obviously, the National Press Club. You know, lots of very sharp people, lots of young people. There was probably just under 200 people total, maybe like 175, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I actually wrote a report for American Free Press. I was there to cover the event for American Free Press and to, you know, sort of promote the newspaper and, the Barnes Review as well, mm-hmm. The historical review magazine. Two publications everybody should be subscribing to, by the way. American Free Press is online at AmericanFreePress.net. Mm-hmm. And then the Barnes Review is barnesreview.org. You know, two great publications, which we'll talk more about as we get into the Jim Traficant Memorial Tribute. Yes. But yeah, this first weekend was the NPI event. It was all day Saturday. There's as I said, a lot of young people, a lot of very sharp people, a lot of intelligent people. Kevin McDonald spoke, Richard Spencer spoke. Keith Preston spoke. Now, Keith Preston is, I don't really know a whole lot about him. I did get to meet him at this conference, and he was a very intelligent guy, very interesting guy. But from what I understand, he's sort of like an anarchist. He comes from like the anarchist, perspective, basically. Yeah. But he had a lot of really important things to say. He talked about the empire versus identity, and he was really critical of, you know, this sort of, well, I guess it's really a Jewish foreign policy, but, you know, this empire of, you know, that American foreign policy is, you know, where we're always, you know, involving ourselves all over the world, which are most certainly not in our American interests, but are most certainly in the interests of Jews and the Jewish state of Israel. He gave an interesting talk.
Well, you know, you can see with the Fed 1913, the income tax 1913, the ADL 1913, and then here comes World War One, and it's been basically American lives getting, you know, scattered to the four winds with other European lives, just to basically birth this nation that we see sitting in the Middle East right now. It's if you really want to get down to brass tacks, that's really what World War One and Two were all about, was the UN and then the State of Israel.
Yeah, I think another critical thing that needs to be said as well is that, you know, it was really the destruction of national sovereignty of all Western nations.
Yeah, there you go.
That was really the most important thing. I mean, you know, the European Union followed suit, you know, after World War II, and look where it's at today. You know, all these countries are basically ruled by this tyrannical,
it's a Soviet
federal government. I mean, just like the United States. I mean, the states are supposed to be sovereign, but we have this tyrannical federal government that is absolutely dominated and controlled by Jews and by puppets of Jews, by white traitors.
Yeah.
And these people need to be called out and they need to be replaced. And, you know, we could easily do that if, you know, we can get our message out there, which I think we're doing.
Oh yeah. Hey, check this out. Now, Steve Quayle, right? You know who this is? Bible prophecy kind of transhumanist, one of the biggest websites out here. He actually, if you go to stevequayle.com, I was blown away. I went on his website. He actually has the words white genocide, his own words describing an article, which he has linked. It's kind of set up almost Drudge-like. And he's actually using the words white genocide. Steve Quayle, kind of a Christian Zionist Bible prophecy guy. This is, I mean, the white genocide meme is even getting out to people like that, to where they're even using it.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's huge. And I mean, it's so in your face anymore. It's not, it's undeniable. You know, you have to literally be denying reality to not accept the fact that white nations are being subjected to genocidal policies, including America, including Western Europe. And now this was a topic that was discussed pretty extensively at this NPI conference. Getting back to, let me just give you the speakers quick. So I mentioned Keith Preston. He gave a talk. He was sort of the anarchist perspective, a really interesting, speech he gave. And then Sam Dixon gave a, sort of like a luncheon. It was like during lunch, he gave a speech on, the tragedy of Southern identity. And it was a very powerful speech. You know, obviously there's been an assault on the Confederate, history and the Confederate flag, and really Southern identity in general. And he talked about that, and it was really good. And he really emphasized the need that we need to, build our own new nation. You know, we need to build our own media companies and media platforms. We need to develop our own businesses and solutions to these problems. I think that really is the way forward. Now, there was also a press conference, I should mention, shortly after lunch, I believe it was, and there were some members from, the Huffington Post and maybe even the New York Times and some of these other, mainstream organizations. There wasn't a whole lot of them. There's only, two or three that I could really tell were, outside journalists. Mm-hmm. And the press conference itself was kind of interesting. I think it probably could have been handled a little bit better. I mean, frankly, but I mean, it wasn't terrible by any means. People can go read the Huffington Post hit piece on the conference. The Daily Beast had this The Daily Beast had this ridiculous headline with a Klansman and a Confederate flag, as if that were the type of people that were attending the NPI conference. I mean, it was ridiculous. Everybody's wearing a suit and tie, looking sharp. It was the total opposite of that. So, but anyways, I mean, it was an interesting press conference. After lunch, Roman Bernard spoke. I guess he's a sort of a French New Rightist type intellectual guy. Mm-hmm. And then Guillaume Fay gave the keynote address, and he's another French guy. And of course they were, kind of talking about the invasion of Europe and what's going on over there. And then to conclude the first half of the conference, there was a panel discussion with Richard Spencer. He was the MC, so he was kind of organizing it and leading it. Henrik Palmgren and Lana Loktoff of, Red Ice Radio were on there, and then Mike Enoch from the rightstuff.biz, and people could come up and ask questions. It was really cool. It's been released. I think actually Red Ice released it, and I also think that Spencer released it. And it was a pretty interesting discussion. Lots of people got up and asked questions. And then that concluded the first part, and then the second part was a more informal type setting. There was food, and Jack Donovan gave a talk about his new book, and then a man named Robert Taylor concluded the conference and talked about the occult war and his experience in the white nationalist movement in general. And then he also played a couple songs. He's a musician. So it was really good. It was a great conference. It really went well. There was hardly any protesters. There's maybe 20 throughout the whole day that I saw. There was hardly any protesters. There was, lots of good people, a lot of very intelligent people. So it was cool. It was a great experience.
Right. So when you gauge, when you're at an event like that, you're sitting there and you're trying to gauge, did it give you, a hopeful? Did it make you feel like, yeah, this is something going on? Or did it feel, how were you feeling, when you were sitting, in this event? What kind of feelings towards the future did it give you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it was, obviously it's very nice to meet people in person, face to face. And, I met a lot of people face to face that I've, dealt with online or with American Free Press, for example. So that alone, just making that connection, it reestablishes things and takes them to a whole new level. So that was great. I mean, just that alone was very beneficial. But I think the general, consensus amongst all the participants of this conference was, when everybody left, everybody was very inspired and enthusiastic. And, I feel the same way. I'm very optimistic. I think, what's going on again is very, it's unavoidable. People cannot avoid these issues anymore. And we have the answers. We are providing top notch, commentary on these issues. And, you can really figure out what's going on. And, take steps in your own personal life to, to sort of address these issues. And at least educate yourself. I mean, that's the most important thing, is you got to know what's really going on. And we have the ability to do that with the internet, with our websites, with our radio programs. And, you know, that's really where we need to get people going, is to consult us rather than this Jewish mind control apparatus known as the mass media in Hollywood.
Yeah. So, let's kind of, you know, what you got going on your website. Let's talk about some of the articles, you've got, you know, where you talk about Jewish organizations from the 19th demand U.S. accept more refugees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been hammering this issue home big time. And I mean, this has been going on for a long time, but it's really been obvious and just blatantly in our faces with this, you know, recent European invasion. I mean, these Jewish groups, these international Jewish groups, they're charities and they're NGOs and whatnot. A lot of them are connected to Israel. You know, a lot of them are obviously based in the U.S. as well. But these charities organizations, they lobby Congress to, and you know, others, you know, they play a role in the media and whatnot as well. You know, they try to get open borders and try to get all these refugees into the United States, and they literally facilitate it and financially benefit from it, because the government is funneling them these huge contracts to facilitate the invasion and the takeover of America. I mean, that's really what's going on. And they're doing the same thing in Europe. I've written some articles, you know, in the past month or two dealing with this as well, where, again, this is coming right from websites like the Times of Israel, where they're just openly admitting, you know, these international Jewish charities and these Jewish groups are, you know, demanding Europe and the United States continue to accept unlimited Middle Eastern refugees, while they themselves are financially benefiting off it and, you know, exploiting the situation. It's, you know, just, it's outrageous what's going on. Yeah. And they're just admitting all of this.
Yeah. So you got this headline up where you're got this other article, Jewish groups join call to accept Syrian refugees into U.S. And then it's basically, 11 Jewish groups are among 81 that sent a letter to Congress members urging them not to roll back plans to accept Syrian refugees in the United States. You see, I've been trying to really expose this psyop that the Zio media keeps calling these refugees Syrian. And you see,
right.
This is what fascinates me, because people don't get that this is a psyop within itself, because by calling all these refugees, Syrian, in case anything bad happens, then these knucklehead level, American buffoons are going to say Syrians are bad. Because see, if you call them all Syrian refugees, and we know that these jihadis that are trying to actually throw the legitimate government of Syria within this country come from outside of Syria. Assad, Putin, all these guys are like, look, these are not Syrians that are trying to overthrow the Assad regime. It's guys that they've emptied out the prisons in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. In these other countries, they bringing them all the way from Chechnya, Afghanistan, Pakistan in to fight. And then half these boneheads are Muslims, going to join the fight. They get suckered in, by the propaganda, thinking that they're actually serving this, caliphate, this synthetic, basically Jewish controlled caliphate that they're trying to build from Turkey to Saudi Arabia. And these boneheads are going from Minnesota and London and joining ISIS, not knowing that this is basically a synthetic proxy army. And then they're calling them Syrian refugees when Putin, when his planes are over there pounding these people, then these guys are all, it's plan B, invade Europe. And I think this is really what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, these people are coming from all over the Middle East and, you know, South Asia in general.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's not just Syrian refugees, although there are a lot of Syrians as well. But I mean, just think about this article you're mentioning here on my website. Just think about what these Jews are saying. Like, this is a direct quote. This comes from, one of these Jewish organizations that supported, you know, they're basically demanding that the Congress not have any restrictions on Syrian refugees. And it says here, we call on members of Congress to oppose any effort to limit the acceptance of Syrian refugees. Any effort to limit the acceptance. I mean, like, unlimited Middle Easterners into the United States. We are demanding that. How just outrageous can these people be? They can just they think that they can just say these things in our own countries and we're just going to put up with it. Well that's like that's over with. We're done putting up with this shit.
Hey, John, but listen, this is how mentally ill people are. Like Paris, okay, you had this what I consider a false flag, but let's just not even worry about that. Okay, so there was just this big traumatic event that happens in Paris. Okay. The dumbed down population's not going to know any better because they're too busy watching Geraldo talking to his daughter. Anyway, who was there, by the way, in both places at the same time. There was a big, I mean, there's been so many anomalies with Paris, but anyway. So right after the president talks about we're at war, this is an act of war. Oh, by the way, we're going to take in 30,000 more of these people. You see what I'm saying? This is the
it's
like this synthetic psyop of mental illness, and it basically, I think it's to make people feel helpless, to where it's just like, yeah, there was a big attack, and now I don't even believe it's a real attack. I believe it was synthetic and run by the usual suspects. But so you got a big attack, and then you're going to say, oh, by the way, we're going to take in 30,000 more people from outside of our nation, and just go ahead and enjoy it. And now the left-wing weirdos in France are all having pro-immigrant rallies. I mean, this is how
sick. I know, it's insane. I mean, and I think that's just sort of like, that's part of how they do these things is they, you know, we have to go to war and destroy ISIS. Meanwhile, we're going to let the same people in to our country. And after they commit acts of terrorism, allegedly, we're going to demand even more of them come. I mean, it's just none of it makes sense. I mean, it's just a total assault on your mind. I mean, what they're telling us.
Yeah. Well, here's the break. We'll see you guys on the other side. John Friend, TheRealistReport.com. We'll be right back. Short segment this time. We got John Friend, TheRealistReport.com. So, John, you're writing regularly for the American Free Press again, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I usually have at least one article in there every edition. It's a biweekly national publication that still is printed and mailed to everybody. You know, to America's last real newspaper.
Right, right. So let's get into the Jim Traficant Memorial Tribute. You wanted to mention that.
Yeah. So we can go through this quick. This was the very next weekend. Mm-hmm. So NPI was over Halloween, and then the very next weekend, which is the first weekend of November, November 7th, AFP, American Free Press, they hosted and organized the Jim Traficant Memorial Tribute, and it was at the Capitol Skyline Hotel. I put up an article on November 10th.
Yeah, I got
Jim
it right
Traficant
here.
Memorial Tribute. Yeah, if you just Google that, or you can find it on my website pretty easy. You know, kind of just highlighting it. I took a bunch of photos. I met a lot of cool people. Pete Papa Heracles really organized it. And he's the outreach director for American Free Press, and he contributes pretty regularly. But yeah, he was kind of the driving force behind organizing it and putting it on. He was the MC. He kind of ran the affair, and, he was a good friend of Traficant's. In fact, he was pretty, instrumental in getting Traficant to come write for American Free Press once he was out of prison. I mean, he went to prison for like 7 or 8 years, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact details, but he was in prison for a long time. And, you know, he got out and Pete went up there and met him, and, you know, they became friends, and he would write a column for American Free Press. And, you know, he was always just this, very likable, you know, easygoing and, you know, just good guy all around, you know, very genuine person. That's what everybody said about him. I unfortunately was never able to meet him, but that was sort of the consensus. Everybody was saying the same thing about him. Merlin Miller was there. He's of the American Eagle Party. And he was, he was a good guy. I got to meet him and his wife. Leo Glazier, he gave a little talk. He was a juror on Traficant's original trial. And it's just incredible the way they railroaded him and just made up these charges against him. It was ridiculous, really. Michael Collins Piper wrote a good book about it called, Target Traficant.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where he explains all this, yeah, and it's terrible actually what they did to him. I mean, he really got screwed.
Oh, and I see Paul Tepetti was there too, huh?
Yeah, Jim Rizzoli, Paul Tepetti, his wife was there, Cindy Steele was there. Cindy Steele, who else? Paul Angel, of course, all the American Free Press, writers and employees were there. Mark Anderson. Yeah, and I ended up winning the free speech award from the Foundation to Defend the First Amendment. There's a couple other awards given out as well. Merlin got one, and then, Mark Anderson got one as well. So it was cool. It was a really cool event. There was probably like 60 people there. A lot of really good people. Everybody was super nice and had known Will. I mean, Willis Cardo just died recently as well, before this even happened. So, you know, there's a lot of speeches, you know, dealing with Willis and his legacy. And, he's always been sort of a hero of mine. I mean, he did a lot of just outstanding work over the years. He was really, really just an American patriot that just got things done, you know?
Yeah. So, it's interesting that whole nexus, because Rick Adams on this network, he really interviews a lot of those folks. He always has Merlin Miller on, Paul Tepetti, and a bunch of those folks in those circles. And so it's an interesting, like I was telling you off the air, I used to watch Traficant on the House floor back when he was basically one of the few Democrats. And I actually used to watch Cynthia McKinney, and both of these people got ran out by the Jewish lobby because they were the only Democrats that would stand up on that side of the house to the Jewish lobby. And you see what happened to both of them. They both got ran out of Congress, and in Traficant, he gets railroaded into prison.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no doubt that's exactly what happened. And, you know, there's other examples in American history. What happened to Traficant is just a travesty. I mean, this guy was really making some moves. I mean, he was, saying some very powerful and important things. And then, of course, they just, slander him in the media and then bring up these phony charges and incredibly getting them, to stick, which is even more amazing. So yeah, it is a travesty, but I mean, he's a hero and he has a legacy and we're going to continue to carry that legacy out, you know?
Yeah. So there's the music. We'll pick this up on the other side, but we're going to talk, with John, a little Donald Trump, and then we're going to talk, the refugees and some of Trump's recent comments. And I wanted to play a video for John to hear as well. So we'll see you on the other side, folks. Guest this hour, John Friend, TheRealistReport.com, and he's writing for American Free Press again, so that's good news. And I wanted to go through this article of John's, and he posted this one October 30th, Tracking Patriots Like Terrorists. Now, let me just say, this stacks right up with the Strong Cities Network, folks, at the UN and the Department of Justice, this big global new network of these so-called strong cities where they're gonna unite against extremism and against terrorism. And that means, they're against basically, anybody that wants to come up against their agenda.
And probably racism as well. So that means white people.
Oh, of course. Let me just read a couple paragraphs because it's fascinating. Okay. As a direct result of a heavy-handed and very public lobbying campaign carried out by SPLC, all of our greatest friends, easily one of the most un-American organizations operating on U.S. soil today. Yeah, Morris, Sleaze, Deese, and Cohen and all them guys, Mark Potok. the DOJ has announced the creation of the Domestic Terrorism Council, which is specifically tasked with identifying, analyzing, and combating domestic terrorism and homegrown extremism. That's who you're listening to right now, by the way, homegrown extremism. The obvious concern for advocates of free speech and thought in the U.S. is that anyone voicing any sort of criticism towards the federal government, its policies, or the various lobbying organizations shaping and influencing its agenda could now be considered a domestic terrorist who must be dealt with. So the Domestic Terrorism Council, a position designed to track and coordinate federal investigations into domestic terrorism, will work with and serve as a liaison between a variety of federal agencies, including the FBI, various departments within the DOJ, along with private intelligence and lobbying organizations such as the SPLC, and don't forget the ADL.
No doubt. Those are the two main culprits right there.
Yeah. And so now, remember everybody that, the FBI for a minute said, we're not going to deal with the ADL anymore because, you know, they're just such a, you know, they're so, controversial. But now the SPLC slides right in with the DOJ, which runs the FBI, by the way, folks. And so now you've got these clowns, basically feeding, it's a feeding frenzy of basically Jewish supremacists, influencing even further. Now the Department of Justice and then its lower organization, the FBI, which is crazy. So, you know, I mean, it's just another move towards Bolshevik, Soviet style, government, which we're witnessing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's total Jewish tyranny. And I mean, the most incredible thing is that the SPLC like literally got this bill passed. I mean, this bill was a direct result of their lobbying efforts and their influence and their power and their subversion really of our government. And you'll notice going all the way back to the alleged Dylan Storm Roof shooting, which I question the validity, obviously, of the mainstream media's depiction of that event. I question whether or not it even happened.
Hey, hold on. Just let me interject. If you didn't hear the show, Kyle and Hunt and I did on, I think it was June 21st, 4 days after the Dylan Storm Roof incident. Listen to my June 21st show with Kyle Hunt. We just totally smashed for 2 hours, I think, or more, the narrative of Charleston, which is just disgusting. Go ahead.
It is, yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, regardless, directly after that alleged event, the SPLC, you know, gets this op-ed published in the New York Times, very high profile. You know, basically calling for the DOJ and the federal government to turn their crosshairs towards American patriots in the quote unquote global war on terrorism. They're essentially saying that American patriots and critical thinkers and critics of Jews and Israel and, you know, critics of the government generally are the new enemies in the global war on terrorism. That's what they were arguing right after the alleged, you know, shooting in Charleston. And, you know, they were advocating for some sort of, you know, federal response of this nature. And that's exactly what they got recently with the creation.
Let me continue real quick.
So, yeah.
Assistant Attorney General John P. Carlin speaking in D.C. at an event co-sponsored by the SPLC and the Center for Cyber and Homeland Security's brand new program on extremism, which is affiliated with George Washington University, proudly announced the creation of the new office, the Council on Domestic Terrorism. I mean, this is straight up Cheka, KGB, NKVD level crap.
It is. It absolutely is. It's the thought police, man. It's communism. This is total tyranny.
Yeah. So I just wanted to get to that article.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very important article. It's a very important, reality that we need to deal with here. The government is out to get you because of the Jews. The Jews have the government convinced that, you know, white patriots are the enemy rather than them, rather than international Jewry and these, you know, invaders that are flooding our countries.
So let's cover Trump a little bit. I know, and I told you I kind of wanted to get into this with you. So Trump, you know, with the fallout from the Paris, okay, which I consider is a false flag, but a lot of people, just, they haven't done their looking into, the past, like Gladio and other things.
Can I interject real quick?
Yeah.
Now, one question I've heard people ask, you know, they say, okay, well, what possible benefit could the Jews or the globalists or whoever, or the French government, what benefit would be there to stage an event like this? Because wouldn't that turn public perception against these refugees? Like, how does this benefit their agenda? How would you answer that question?
Well, here, this is the multi-leveled psyop. First, I think France might be being punished right now. Just like the lower house of parliament, voted to recognize Palestine as a state. And then, Netanyahu said that'd be a horrible, bad things are going to happen. And then Charlie Hebdo went down. Okay. Now the EU, just leading up to, before this Paris, they basically said that they were going to start labeling everything that comes out of the occupied settlements, of Israeli businesses imports into the EU. Netanyahu was furious. Then, on top of that, France was talking about totally pulling out of the TTIP, which is the TPP for us. And so there's basically a multifaceted agenda where France is being resistant to some of the, let's just say, Israeli domination, number one, of the Palestinians. They've been sticking up for the Palestinians. If you realize what happened with Norway, with the Breivik stuff, and the Norwegians were really moving towards Palestine, and then that mass shooting happened up there. You got to realize that I personally think France is in the crosshairs of basically Jewish power, and maybe they've been a little bit resistant. And a little bit moving towards Palestine, and then being part of the whole labeling movement and BDS and that sort of thing coming from the left. And so,
right.
But then you
gotta
look
one thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, you know, one thing I think that I've noticed in particular with all of these, you know, alleged terrorist acts, including this one in France, this alleged one in France, I think the main thing that the establishment uses them for is to perpetuate this, you know, false paradigm of a global war on terrorism.
Exactly.
Because these Muslim people do not really pose any threat to us as long as we don't let them in our countries. And we continue to fail to even address that basic fact. You know, and just continue to bomb these people and, you know, oh, we have to go fight them over there so they don't come, you know, attack us here. Meanwhile, we're letting them in our own countries. It is just pure madness. I mean, you can't even really rationally explain any of this stuff.
Yeah, I think there's an agenda on top of the madness as well, though. I think there's this synthetic, like I covered in the last hour with this guy Spiro, who's a big YouTuber. Him and some other people that I've been researching, they've been making some connections with like this corporation, which used to be part of Arthur Anderson Consulting. It's now called Accenture. Okay. This one corporation is contracted with DHS doing some like biosurveillance, biometrics. And then they're overseeing the healthcare.gov computer system. And now they're contracted with the World Bank and the UN High Commission on Refugees to track refugees. And so, and then this ties in with Trump's comments where basically he said, well, we've got to track these people somehow in our country if we're going to absorb them in here. And I think that there's a larger agenda at play here of biometric tracking of human beings. And so I think that they're importing the threat on purpose as basically almost a human false flag refugee system in order to destabilize these countries in order to bring in a biometric, basically, Orwellian total surveillance, system of the movements of all human beings that live in the sectors of these countries. And I think this might be the big picture. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting perspective. I've never really entertained it prior to you explaining that
either.
To me.
I didn't either.
No, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a possibility, I guess. I'd have to think more about it and do a little bit more research. But I mean, it's very clear that we don't need these people in our countries. You know, there's no reason.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, so regardless.
It's a cultural suicide. And even, you know, I have some, Muslim people that I interact with, that I speak with and, you know, offline and so forth. And they even understand it, that this is suicide of the host nation. You see
it
what
is.
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, I think there's some useful idiots that have been infused with Wahhabi, Takfiri, kind of, the sick version of the weird version. It's almost like rabbinic, like Orthodox Judaism, sick version of Islam. And they've been suckered into this thing like, yeah, we're going to do a jihad on Europe. We're gonna relive history when we almost took Europe last time, et cetera, et cetera. You can see it with some of the preachers out there in the Islamic world. And so I think that there's some shock troops that have been sucked into this hardcore, clash of civilizations model. And then, there's people in our sector that are getting sucked into this clash of civilizations model, and we know who's sitting here wringing his hands in the background. It's like we're getting sucked into a battle that we have to fight, but well, that we don't really want to, because we know it's synthetic and we know it's person C sitting in the background that's orchestrating the whole damn thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the best way to deal with all of these issues is just to be honest and very open and frank. And I mean, it's nothing personal. Like,
right.
I've met Muslim people that are, you know, pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that's an irrelevant point. They have
exactly.
no business being in our country. And
right.
that includes every single last one of them. I don't care how cool they are, how nice they are, or even how, you know, productive they are. They have their own country that they need to go live in, and they need to handle business over there. We got our own problems to take care of.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know, this is just can't go on anymore. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Well, here's what's so fascinating. The environmentalists, okay? So you want to whine about how bad we're treating the environment, you know, California's in a drought at A, B, C, and D, but yet you want to absorb half of Central and South America into California. Is that going to help
right.
your drought? Is that going to
right.
help the environment?
And you know, it's interesting because there are sort of like, you know, liberal type groups that are making those exact arguments. Like they're against immigration because, you know, it's very bad for the environment.
Yeah. Well, at least,
but, yeah,
at least
I mean,
they have linear thinking.
Yeah. Well, it's just incredible. I mean, on virtually every single important public policy issue, our government is actively working against our own interests. And I mean, it doesn't matter if you're white, if you're black, if you're whatever. It's against all of our interests, especially white people. I mean, I think even white people even more than any other race. I mean, think about affirmative action. Think about just the systematic anti-white propaganda that is pumped out of Hollywood, out of the media, in our educational establishment. I mean,
yeah.
we are target number one. And
well,
you know,
here's
it's
what's
very
really
clear.
Sick. Here's what's really sick, John, is the Senate is full of white people. And the House is full of predominantly white people. And so then the people that want to argue that say, oh, this can't be going on. Look who's running your country. You know what I'm saying? But they don't understand the layer of control that's over them, that those people are not really even, white people. They're shells. They have no values. They have no spirit. These people have sold their soul a long time ago. And so they might look white on the outside, but they're the lowest form of humanity because they're selling their own out.
That's right. Yeah, and I think the main thing is that whites in the West, in America, in Europe, You know, we have been, totally deracinated. We have no conception of what it means to be a part of a racial group of a larger community. You know, that concept, that biological concept has been removed from our thinking, you know, by our socialization process, by our education, by the media. And we have to reverse that. We have to start thinking critically about these things. And, you know, it's pretty obvious that race is a very real biological and cultural concept. I mean, just observe the world around you. And that is pretty clear. And I think that really is the main problem. We have white people, you know, that are in charge of our government, but they don't even know that they're white. They don't consider, I mean, you know, they're not working for white people or white interests. They are, you know, basically sellouts to Jews and these big lobbying organizations.
Yeah, and that's what's really, you know, that causes a lot of confusion, because I get emails from listeners, you know, that tell me, oh, white people run everything, and so your arguments aren't really, coherent, because look at the CEOs, look at the so forth and so on. And I'm like, well, look, if you really get down to brass tacks, these people are just basically cucks to Jewish power. And unless you're...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, we'll see you guys on the other side of the break, folks. Incendiary Radio. And I'm not trashing all Jews. I know Jews, a couple that they only make less money than I do. But when you talk about Jewish power, it is real. Folks, we're back. We're about to wrap it up with John Friend, therealistreport.com, American Free Press. So we got a few minutes left, John. Let's talk Trump. You're a big fan for what it sounds like. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, I am. I mean, I think that he's very genuine. I mean, there's really nothing that he's saying that I really disagree with at all. I mean, I think he's running a very effective and efficient campaign. I think he's using social media very well. I mean, he's on Twitter having fun and, you know, kind of joking around, but also making some devastating critiques and, you know, raising some very important issues that no one else is. I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, no one is talking anything like Donald Trump is.
Yeah. Well, he's got a big set of cojones. I mean, just some of the...
I'll tell you what. Yeah,
just some of the crap he says on Twitter, I laugh. I'll give him that.
Well, and I just saw an article today talking about how Trump was tweeting black crime statistics.
Oh, yeah. I retweeted that today.
I saw it on
today.
The Daily Stormer, yeah.
I retweeted
Yeah, Donald Trump tweet, yeah. and it was on, I saw it on Facebook as well. You know, people were saying that. That's awesome. Good for Donald Trump. We need to get him on our radio show though. That's going to be the step.
Yeah.
I want to interview Donald Trump before it's all said and done.
Yeah, I'd like to, but I don't think Mr. Cohen will let me near him.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, he obviously is connected with Jews. He's been in New York for a long time. You know, I don't know. I don't really know a whole lot about his background. I should read more, but I need to read his book. That'd be a good place to start. But I mean, I'm just basing my judgment and observations on what I've seen, what he's saying, you know, what I've read about him. And, you know, he's definitely making some powerful and devastating critiques of the political system and our policies. And, you know, he has, I just watched a rally he did the other day in Texas. The Occidental Observer, Dr. Kevin McDonald's website, they posted it. And I watched the whole thing the other night, and it was, I mean, the guy is just great. He's very,
well,
down to earth, you know, he's not
the American Freedom Party sector over here. They do a show on RBN. They're really, pro Trump. A lot of people are, you know,
well, I think he can easily get into the White House. Like, I think,
well, I do too. I think if he's for real, and there, you know, there's some indicators that there's something up there with Bill Kristol saying that he'll support Marco Rubio and a third party if Trump gets the nomination, you got Jews like that ready to come off the Republican plantation to support third party neocons like Rubio. That's there's some interesting dialectics going on.
And that's what they're saying. In fact, there was an article in the, I think it was originally in the Daily Forward, the Jewish Daily Forward, and it was talking about how all these, high level, billionaire Jewish donors to the Republican Party, none of them liked Trump. You know, they were like, we got to do anything in our power to get rid of Trump. And some of these candidates that have bowed out of the race already, they've said, as they're leaving, look, we got to do everything in our power to take down Donald Trump. It's ridiculous. This man is totally.
Hey, John, you want to stay on for one more segment?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We got the top of the hour, folks. We're going to keep John for another segment. IncendiaryRadio@gmail.com if you want to reach me. IncendiaryChat.chatango.com and IncendiaryRadio.chatango.com. The chat rooms. Folks, we're back. Third hour, Incendiary Radio. We're talking. I wanted to finish this up with John, so he's going to stay on this segment. So we're talking, and I brought this up some weeks back, John, and I want to bounce this off of you. Sheldon Adelson, the real Likud party controller, and he controls a big part of the Republican Party. All right. Gambling magnate. Okay. He's in Macau. He's in Vegas. Here's the thing. And I kind of researched some of this. I think there's some serious bad blood between Trump and Adelson. Okay. Trump being involved in gambling, off and on. And there's some things about online gambling that I researched out some weeks back, and the listeners that, listen to this show pretty religiously, you'll remember this conversation. But basically, Adelson, he's all about organic gambling, people coming to his establishments and then, spending money in his various Sands casinos and the rest of this crap that he owns. Well, Trump was, I think, more or less, he was ready to go into the online gambling world. And so this caused, from what I researched out, kind of a big rift between these two guys. And so you can see the control that Adelson really has over the Republican Party. And so you get this guy, Trump, another billionaire, he gets in over there. And then you got these two gambling kind of egos bumping heads, and then all of Adelson's little minions, ready to jump the entire ship, if Trump gets the nomination. And so I think there's a gambling aspect to this. And I think that there just might be some aspects of things that we can't see at our level to where some of the Jewish, power establishment, I think that they're scared of this guy because I don't think that they're confident enough of their power over him, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, they've admitted that. I mean, the Jews have literally openly admitted that. They do not want Donald Trump in the White House by any means. I mean, he's going against every single key aspect of their agenda for the most part. I mean, certainly when it comes to immigration. And I mean, really, if you think about it, the 2016 presidential election boils down to one issue, and that is immigration. I mean, obviously there's other important issues, but I mean, really we're dealing with the future of our country. Are we going to continue to allow our country to be flooded, literally flooded, with millions of non-white third world people every single year? I mean, are we going to continue to allow this to go on? Donald Trump is saying, no, we're not. These people are going. Yeah. And that's what I think is so important. I mean, he's saying the Syrian quote unquote refugees are going back. He's saying, you know, obviously the Mexicans are going back, all these illegal South Americans and mestizos and whatnot.
Well, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this, Lex? This immigration kind of, enforcement, kind of project that he's kind of laid out there. It's like almost a real, ICE that should be really doing its job, that kind of just sits around and lets these people go. He's basically all, you know, people are like, yeah, I'm volunteering for that, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. You know, I saw that on Facebook the other day. In fact, Matt Heimbach, the guy with tradyouth.org,
yeah,
he posted something on Facebook about it, and I was like, oh wow, that's really cool. I'll sign up, you know, join for free, you know, I'll volunteer. And, you know, I don't know if that was like something he really actually said. I haven't really looked into it. But I think it's a brilliant idea. I mean, I think there's already plenty of people that would more than willingly go down there and help out and do what they can to, you know, protect the borders of our country.
Well, you know, here's another thing where I think he might have really pissed off some of the, Jewish supremacists that fly the biggest menorah basically in the country right over there by the White House, where he's like, I'm going to have people saying Merry Christmas again and that sort of thing. And you know what after they've almost completely ripped, the Christian heritage out of this modern day Zio America, and now you get this billionaire wasp, you know, Trump, and he's going to sit there and say, you know what, I want people to start saying Merry Christmas again. He's almost kind of putting it in their face by code, yeah, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, he's really, I mean, I can't speak highly enough of him. I mean, I really do think he's doing a great job. You know, is he a white nationalist? No, he's not a white nationalist. Is he an anti-Semite? No, he's not an anti-Semite. I mean, he's not dealing with these issues like we are. But, I mean, the way he's handling himself, the way he's operating in this very controlled environment. And I think he's doing a hell of a job. I mean, I really do.
Well,
I think he's absolutely crushing the mainstream, you know, political establishment. He's making them look like fools and clowns and the traitors that they really are.
Well, you know what? He's just this guy that has the balls not to be politically correct. And I think Americans are just, you know, so done with, these conservatives that, you know, and look, I have no illusions personally. You know, Trump went on Israeli TV talking about how a great guy Bibi is. And so I've done my own research on Trump, and I'm not holding my breath, and I'm not going to go campaign for him or anything like that. Now, do I want guys like Trump to be real in down deep in my heart? Sure. Do I want Vlad Putin to be real? Damn right. But I'm 45 years old, John. And so I'm just going to say this. I've been burned so many times, by, you know, trying to put, you know, undue, you know, positive feelings towards people that jump in the political realm. And so I'm pretty much done being burned. And so
I hear you.
You know what I mean? And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I watch Trump and I watch this buffoon Carson and the rest of these degenerate, sick individuals in the Republican race. And then I look at these Bernie Sanders, this washed up old Jewish communist, and then Hillary, this witch, Hillary Clinton, and then this other O'Malley guy who's just, I mean, he's the walking definition of a cuck white male. I mean, we have nothing to choose from, and I think that's why so many people are basically, Trump is just like a kind of a brash, politically incorrect, say what's on his mind type of guy. And Americans are looking for that. But as far as the authenticity, you know, I'm not holding my breath. You know, this guy's been all over mainstream media for years, The Apprentice. Right. And so, right. Go ahead.
Well, but I mean, yeah, no, I hear you. It's always important to be skeptical. I totally agree with you. And I think that we need to absolutely hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire and make sure he does in fact deport all these illegal immigrants as soon as he's elected. So yeah, we need to keep the pressure on him. The strategy that I've pursued from the very beginning is really just to kind of go along with what he's doing, but try to pull his crowd in our direction.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Raise some of these issues in a responsible, you know, sort of professional way. And you know, point this stuff out and especially the racial issues. Because I mean, everything that Donald Trump is basically, he's implicitly pro-white, not explicitly. He's not outright saying, hey, look, I represent white people. You know, I want to maintain America as a white country. He's not saying that, but he's, you know, sort of the things that he's saying, the policies that he's championing and saying that he will implement most certainly advance our cause, right? I mean, we all want the immigrants out of here.
Now, let me run this past you, John.
Yeah,
this just popped into my head. The Zio media, okay? It's got such a control over this just tarred level American public. I mean, I live here in Missouri. You just saw this just sickness down here at the University of Missouri with these black folks, the Black Lives Matter, communist shock troops, the $20 million kid on the hunger strike. I mean, this media can weaponize, I mean, the dumbed down, tarred level Americans to such an extent that I think personally they're gonna basically, if Trump gets near the White House, I think you're gonna see cities burning because they're gonna demonize this guy like he's wearing a hood from the Klan or he's wearing a swastika.
Yeah.
To where
and they're basically already doing that. Yeah,
yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, I think it's gonna go into a mode like we haven't seen, and they're gonna get basically the Hispanic population, especially they're gonna terrorize them to like Trump's gonna eject all of you. He's going to rip you out of your homes and he's going to send you to Mexico or Honduras or wherever you came from. I think they're going to basically flip these people completely out to where you're going to see Phoenix and Tucson and LA, San Diego. Who knows what the hell is going to happen with this Zio media if Trump gets near, being, you know, put in as the president.
Power. Yeah. Yeah. No, the media most certainly will do that. The Jewish media most certainly will do that. And that includes pretty much every single mainstream news network, you know, local even. Certainly much of what you find on the internet, you know, all the print publications, New York Times and everything. And that just goes to show you that we need our own media.
Yeah.
You know, we got networks like, you know, RBN, they do a great job and people should support them and subscribe to them. I'm founding my own, you know, independent media network right now. Basically, I'm going to have more details on my site in the next couple days. I've talked about it briefly on other radio programs, but I'm pretty much ready to roll with it. There's a couple of final details that need to be straightened out, but yeah, I mean, we need to start supporting, you know, our own media people and our own, you know, businesses and networks. I mean, we really gotta replace this Jewish decadent society we see around us with our own society. And I think we most certainly have the ability to do that. We just gotta get serious about it and get focused and have sort of a game plan.
Yeah. And you know, all these people that say Obama's a secret Muslim and blah, blah, blah. But has Obama done one, has he lifted one finger to break the Jewish monopoly over the media in this country, which could actually cause the cascading events to where you could actually deprogram large numbers of Americans if you got the media out. I'm talking the mainstream alphabet media, Fox, MSNBC, CNN, out of the hands of basically the intelligence agencies and basically organized Jewish power.
No doubt, yeah. I mean, these people would have to be arrested, and, you know, we'd basically have to shut, their operations completely down. I mean, that's what it would boil down to. I mean, ultimately, if we really truly wanted to deal with this problem once and for all, and we'd have to be very clear about why we're doing these things, we'd have to expose, well, I mean, we already have exposed what they're doing to us in this, you know, totally degenerate, filthy, you know, propaganda that they present to our children, to really everybody.
Is,
I mean, they're poisoning our minds.
This is Weimar America. This is Weimar America is what we're in right now.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, it's probably even worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the media really is the problem to a large extent. They perpetuate in advance what is going on and maintain, you know, this false narrative of history, particularly relating to World War II, but also other things. And they all just reinforce one another. And it's really just a gigantic mind control apparatus. You know, they control our perception of reality, and they control the information that we consume. Or at least they have. I mean, now we have the ability to educate ourselves independently of their propaganda, of their, you know, mind control programming. We really have the ability to break free from this and do our own thing. And I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm sure that's what you're trying to do. And yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, let me run one more frustrating thing by you. And it's this, the black population of the United States, they get like Farrakhan, let's say, who I think is an operative. But anyway, they get the fact, you know, that the Nation of Islam, they write books like The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, and they really documented, along with many other researchers, about the Sephardic Jewish nature of the Atlantic slave trade. And basically, but at the same time, out of the same mouth, they'll basically lump the same power, the Jewish power, in with whites. Whereas they can't see the fact that basically, when it's convenient, this kosher nostra will act white.
Right.
And then, but at the same time, they're always plotting and scheming ultimately to dispossess and then basically eradicate whites within their own countries. And so, and it just,
that's right.
It's a frustrating thing, because a lot of blacks become pretty wise to the Jewish mafia, but then they can't differentiate and say, look, the common white guy out here is not a part of this, mafia. And, this Jewish mafia actually has it out, a very negative, plan in the back of his mind towards whites and blacks.
That's right, yeah. And see, that's the thing. I mean, we have to be clear about these things. The Jews are not white. Jews are not white. They say this themselves. I mean, they write articles about this saying that they're not white and saying how, you know, hostile they are towards white people, and they go on and on about this alleged Jewish Holocaust. So yeah, we need to be just clear about these things. We need to be upfront and frank about race, generally speaking. And especially identify and explain to people the fact that the Jews really are our enemies. I mean, they are out to undermine and subvert and ultimately destroy our civilization and everything that we stand for. They have perverted our societies in a major way. I mean, I just put up an article the other day on my website where I think it was the Jewish Daily Forward, once again, openly bragging and celebrating the Jewish role in the promotion of transgenderism and homosexuality and gay marriage. And I mean, it goes on and on. You know, they're just openly, you know, bragging and admitting that, you know, yeah, we Jews are behind all this. And, you know, it's unacceptable. This is ridiculous. You know, we cannot continue to act like this is not a big deal.
Yeah. So we just got a couple minutes left. 9/11, and now we see Paris, but this cascading level of operations being ran, the Mali, some of the research I've stumbled upon,
right.
Mossad agents running Mali, this terror attack.
You know it.
And so, unfortunately, I think, that there's some sort of event that's right, very near to where even if Trump gets near the White House, I see some sort of an event that's going to preclude, it's like a martial law type thing. It's just getting so close. Special ops forces operating in Phoenix in the last couple of days. I think there's something right on the horizon here that they're going to collapse this entire Western Europe. France is under martial law basically right now. And I just see this big picture, and those of us out here trying to basically give information to people, it's tough, but I was trying to encourage people last night on another program. And so what do you do to keep positive about this in such a dark, time we're living in?
Oh man, that's a good question. You know what? I just think knowing that I'm on the right side, you know, knowing that I'm fighting for truth and justice and sanity and for a decent world. And frankly, I have no fear of, you know, the NSA spying on me or FEMA camps or martial law. None of that is even slightly concerning to me. I mean, I'm not even convinced that these things are really as dangerous as, you know, the way some people talk about them. I mean, we have a righteous cause. We have nothing to fear or be ashamed about. And, you know, I think it's time to start saying these things.
Thank you, guns80.com.
Oh, there's the break. Well, hey, John, thanks for coming on the program, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, man.
All right, see ya. Incendiary Radio. I got some clips lined up, and I know there's a couple callers waiting, so just be patient. I wanted to get some of these clips, just short little blurbs out there, because I just want to show just some of the disinformation floating around out here by some of the heavyweights. So let's start with clip one, Mr. Producer.
In our government, that's now come out. We've been proven correct. To take our liberties, launch wars against countries like Iraq that did nothing to us, for Saudi Arabia. On top of this, Paul, he then gets up and says the terrorists can't fundamentally alter anything in our lives, which is true. We shouldn't give in to terrorists, whether they're real or not. And basically says giving up our liberty won't protect us, but they've already taken so many of our liberties. So here is the vice president admitting that terrorists can't defeat us or can't take us down. Statistically, it's very rare to get killed by terrorists. But they hype it up. Both parties have taken our freedoms. They're expanding it. But he sells freedom as if we keep our borders open. That's the one thing. See, we have no freedom but the freedom to keep our borders open and the freedom to pay for the illegal aliens, health care, and everything else. That's it. That's what he's saying. So he speaks the language of freedom rhetorically, but in reality, it's totally empty, and they're doing the opposite. I mean, what an incredible statement. Could you hear that in Belgium? Paul Joseph Watson, that Biden clip from this morning?
That one somehow, Mr. Producer, you can stop that one. Wasn't that the part that I wanted to hear it. So let's play clip two and see if this one's good. But he said Saudi Arabia, which is bogus.
You know, the way ISIS is, the way a lot of these people are, they go to these events after they happen, and they sit there in the crowd and film. You know, it makes you think how many actual active jihadists were in that crowd laughing about what's going on, about the attacks on Friday, taking pictures, shooting video, trying to get out information about people they might find as a threat to send back to their base in Syria or Iraq to wherever they have their different leaders and planning on things like that. So it's definitely something to think about. This is an ongoing situation. And like you said earlier, they're expecting more attacks to happen over the holidays, and it's a possibility. And like you said, they're allowing, even though these attacks happen, they are going to allow more of these refugees to come through. And like I've said before, not all of them are going to be bad, but all it takes is two or three of them to get together, get a plan, and do something bad. And we saw what happened on Friday. We saw what happened with Charlie Hebdo. Horrible stuff. And people need to remember that that can happen in America.
Well, we've already had the recruiting centers hit, Fort Hood, the rest of it, and our media just spins it and says it's not jihad. How are they going to do that when hundreds get killed at a shopping mall or at a college or at a Jewish center? How are they going to cover
you
that
can stop it there. I mean, now, you heard that. How are you going to stop it at a shopping mall, or he had to throw in a Jewish center? Now, Joe Biggs, the other guy on the other side, he had to bring up Charlie Hebdo. Now, Dr. Kevin Barrett and about 20 other authors all deconstructed Charlie Hebdo to be a massive false flag. I mean, I don't know how many people contributed to the We Are Not Charlie Hebdo book, where Dr. Kevin Barrett just did a book tour. But the first clip, that somehow that one got jacked up, where basically Jones said that 9/11 was carried out by the Saudis. Again, he said this probably in the last 6 months, because I listened to the show for disinformation. In the last 6 months, he's probably said the word Saudi Arabia 1,000 times and Israel probably 3. Okay. He makes it seem like somehow the Saudi Arabians are the big bad guy in the Middle East, and never mentions the fact, well, people do bring up on the show the fact that at times that Saudi Arabia, the House of Saud, was placed in power right after World War I by British intelligence. You might as well just say Rothschild Jewish intelligence. Okay. The British Empire, the British Crown, the Crown Corporation, which sits in the city of London. It's basically the center of Jewish power in the world. And Tel Aviv and Riyadh, they both answer to the city of London. So when Alex, he's sitting there pushing this 9/11 Saudi angle, and he never brings up the mountain of evidence of the Israelis' predominant involvement and their Sionim network here in the United States. And the entire PNAC organization, which was comprised of like 75% dual Israeli-American citizens. And we all know the story of 9/11, those of us on this network, well, at least a good chunk of us, that it was a pretty much a Jewish mafia hit. And the where Saudi Arabia, they might have coughed up some money, sure. But did they carry out the hit? Did they make NORAD stand down? I mean, the entire Pentagon apparatus, all that. You had Dov Zakheim was the comptroller, and they just lose a couple $1 trillion. Did the Saudis do that? I mean, the disinfo coming out of big heavyweight alternative media outfits out here is getting really disgusting. And it's Saudi Arabia all day long, and it's never kosher nostra. And so, I think personally, some of the powers that be are eventually, they might oust the House of Saud. Okay. I'm kind of getting this feeling that this House of Saud might go soon at the behest of kosher nostra. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break. We're going to come back, and I got a couple more clips. Let's play clip 4, Brother Nathaniel's latest. Go ahead, Mr. Producer.
It's all over the news. The war on terror must be revived. That's the shriek from the Jewish-owned press following the Paris attacks, allegedly carried out by ISIS. Just overnight, Israeli spy services are oh so indispensable to French intelligence. We're in for a beefed-up security state now. And that means TSA agents at stadiums and concert halls. Chertoff and Lieberman and their shills at DHS will have a ball. But what's really disturbing is what the press is not telling us. Bet you didn't know that the Pentagon knew about the existence of ISIS all the way back in 2012 and used them to destroy Assad.
Many people would argue that the U.S. actually saw the rise of ISIL coming and turned a blind eye, or even encouraged it as a counterpoint to Assad. And a secret analysis by the agency you ran, the Defense Intelligence Agency, in August 2012 said, and I quote, there is the possibility of establishing a undeclared Salafist, it's not secret anymore, was released under FOI. The quote is, there is the possibility of establishing a declared or undeclared Salafist principality in eastern Syria, and this is exactly what the supporting powers to the opposition want in order to isolate the Syrian regime. The U.S. saw the ISIL caliphate coming and did nothing. Did you see this document in 2012? Would this come across your table?
Yeah. I paid very close attention
to
all this.
So when you saw this, did you not pick up a phone and saying, what on earth are we doing supporting these Syrian rebels?
That kind of information is presented
and what did you
those
do
become,
it?
Those become, I argued about it.
Did you say we shouldn't be supporting these groups?
I did. I mean, we argued about the different groups that were there, and we said, you know, who is it that is involved here?
In 2012, your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgency in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that, if you're worried about the rise of, quote-unquote, Islamic extremism?
I mean, I hate to say it's not my job.
But it was Obama's and Hollande's job to make policy on the covert arms transfers. Hollande even admitted to arming the Syrian rebels in breach of the EU arms embargo, knowing full well that the weapons would fall into the hands of hardline jihadists. And why doesn't the press mention that ISIS is terrorizing only Western interests abroad, but not laying a hand on Israel and its interests? Is it because ISIS is enabled by the Mossad, Israel's CIA? It's a known fact that Israel's been treating wounded al-Nusra jihadists in its hospitals and sending them back to Syria to terrorize Assad. France has turned a blind eye to this. For after all, Hollande and Bibsy are bosom buddies. Intelligence experts say that the Islamic terror network has been infiltrated by Mossad, whose assets pose as imams and members of terrorist cells who plan and fund terrorist attacks that benefit the Jewish state. For in the post-Paris attacks, it's looking like a Mossad-orchestrated false flag. Take this Syrian passport dropped by one of the terrorists before dying. I mean, what terrorist carries his passport on a suicide mission? And what about the terrorist whose last words were, Syria, Syria? It's all kind of suspicious, don't you think? For Jewie's plan is to turn Western guns on Syria. Not to wipe out ISIS, but to wipe out Assad and the legitimate Syrian government, who stand in the way of Zionist hegemony in the Middle East.
All right, thanks, Mr. Producer. And that's basically, in a couple short minutes, that is the basic synopsis of Paris, Syria, and the whole dang thing. It's disgusting. You know, they rape this tax money. Every time you buy something, every year you pay your property taxes. That's nice communism for you, isn't it? Pay tax on things you're already supposed to own. And then they use this money to kill millions of people around the world. And while they're soft killing us, but they're accelerating the soft kill into, it's going almost hard kill, the cancer rates, everything else. We got callers backed up, so I want to ask all the callers to just be brief, so I can get to everybody. Let's take Jeff in Idaho. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Robert, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I was going to call in about the book report, but you only got 3 weeks, so The Dangerous Imagination, Silent Assimilation. So we'll just go with another scenario. I'm going to tell you about a movie that's called The Hunt for Red November, okay? It starts with a company that's flying a little red flag out of Round Rock, Texas, and they've got a lieutenant commander as their as their sub-captain. And he's steering this ship out in the Pacific right now to basically launch some nuclear torpedoes that cannot come back. One of them being Hillary Clinton's presidency, and maybe some a lot of flack in 2016. So you're Sean Connery, and I'm Jeff Ryan calling in. You know, and so so the things I was telling about last week happened. Okay, all right. So you know, Dr. Parker basically put out his genocide missile. This is why you're seeing all this stuff happen today. Okay? Like, in the past, when his show was basically finishing up, you know, the only thing that those guys had to worry about is the typhoon hitting Singapore today. Well, that's gone now. They can't do that. So, what we got now is you're going to see between November 22nd and November 30th, this is the UN agenda time to basically put all their things through. All right? So Dr. Parker, basically, you remember on the Hunt for Red October where Sean Connery steers into the torpedo? Okay, the torpedo is the climate agenda in Paris in this theatrical simulation of RBN, okay? Dr. Parker basically drove his submarine, fired his, got in front of the arming mechanism of the global climate change, all right? And so now he's got genocide guys going back to the climate change thing that they're going to be there till December 13th, all right? I'm just telling you, today is a very good day against the globalist.
All right, Jeff. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, but that, I put on air that dangerous imagination simulation to the third keynote speaker that's from Rice that was basically talking about nano silver particle contamination, which is what, this Herald guy was basically, explaining about. So, I'm just telling you that, this whole week, what your guy said on the hour before is everyone just needs to keep on ramming home everything, all right? Because these guys right now are pushing an agenda that's collapsing right in front of them, all right? And so there's a couple of good things going on. So, but you got to read this book report, okay? This Dangerous Imagination Silence.
I got it written down right in front of me. I got it down, written down.
Right. December 13th is when the go day is, and then January is when all the shit hits the fan, you know? There might be 2 million metric tons of gold, you know, overthrowing the Federal Reserve in January. Okay?
All right.
I'm just telling you gotta keep going, all right?
All right.
I'll be expecting,
thanks, Jeff.
I'll be expecting a book report next week.
Take care, Jeff. All right. All right, see ya. Let's take Tom in Florida. What's up, Tom?
Robert, jolly good show you got going on.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, Robert. Yeah, first off, I heard there's a big massive shooting in New Orleans just now, but I really want to talk about.
Yeah, I saw that too. I saw it.
Yeah, you had John on earlier talking about supporting RBN. I'll tell you what, I'm going to buy $100 worth of Liberty stickers because in the main stickers, you guys should even be giving some of them stickers out when people call in, with guns, we are citizens, without we are subjects. And, like I told you last week about the founding fathers are extremists. But what I really want to talk about is, a few issues that I really want to talk. First off, the guy you had on earlier, John, there is a couple of Jews out there that are pretty good. Michael Savage wrote that book on Government Zero. Have you read that book yet?
I have not. Brother Nathaniel, who I just played that clip that basically broke down the whole damn thing, he's of Jewish extraction. He's a Christian now, but, I mean, you know, there are some Jewish folks that put themselves in harm's way to tell the truth. Jack Bernstein, many others.
Well, Robert, you know, Michael Savage is basically telling the white people, you better start breeding, and every white woman in this country is probably going to have to get paid to have a baby, $25,000 per having a baby. Savage is talking about the white men are becoming a bunch of coward pussies and chicken hearts, whatever you want to call them. They don't even want to have breed their own women. And Savage was talking about that on his show 2 weeks ago, and I was like, what's this? This guy was going off the rails. And he's saying that the white man doesn't even want to have kids with his own women, and it's amazing when I was hearing out of this guy. And he's talking about Ground Zero and about the invasion of the immigration insanity, and this was before France happened. And I'm like, and then a week later that happened, I'm like, hey, there is a schmuck out there who's willing to really tell you the truth. And I give Savage credit for that. And Savage does have the ear of Trump. So, you know, I mean, Trump's definitely got to win this election. Otherwise, this country's totally gone. It's down the sewer. It's in the sewer for sure. And, you know, there's so much going on, and You know, Robert, I'll tell you a real fascinating fact. I know you got other callers, but I got to tell you something really blew my mind. In 1865, when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, you were talking about Kennedy got assassinated yesterday, 50 years ago, whatever, 60 years.
Yeah.
Well, when Lincoln got assassinated, you realize there was only 420,000 slaves, and then before that time, there was 388,000 slaves were only brought to North America. 388,000 slaves, and from that time till 1865, there was what? It was 420,000 slaves at that time under Lincoln. Okay? From now, from 1865 to currently now, there's 41 million of those people here. There's 41 million blacks here. And then the Jews, how much was the population of the Jewish population in this country? 3%, 2%, and they control all the wealth and the media? And the white Anglos sit back on their hands and knees and watch this happen? It's almost unbelievable to me, Robert.
Yeah, well, there's things happening.
You know, Louis Farrakhan was on Arsenio's show, so I told you about that in the past. You know why Arsenio got booted off the air?
Well, you told me about that, where Farrakhan said some things on the program.
Yeah, he's talking about the slave ships were run by the Rothschilds.
Yeah, yeah. With Sephardic Jewish slave trade, yeah.
There
All right,
go.
Tom, I got a bunch of callers left. Appreciate you calling in, man. Waiting
yeah,
on hold.
Have a great one, man.
All right, see ya. Let's take John in Alberta. John, hey.
Hey, Rob.
Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in about this Trump party. I know you remember that, and you totally understand that the way that Obama came in to the political arena was that he was so much of Hobie Changey and all that stuff that got the, you know, the inauguration flooded with people to witness.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much to difference in floating a balloon that, with Trump that is saying exactly what people want to hear to say that, you know, we have to stop... you know, immigration and all the things that he says to great applause, but
well,
I
hey,
think
what
did
hey, John, what do you think about my basic theory that okay, they're gonna weaponize the population, especially the Latinos, to be so freaked out if Trump gets near the White House because of his rhetoric that you're going to see cities go up. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm I really can't talk to it other than just on a surface way, and that is like this is all scripted, you know.
Yeah,
like,
I'm getting that same synthetic feeling.
Well, it's not real. Like, the world we live in is not real. I've talked to you before, and I think you tend to agree that what we have going here is just a like, no matter what the darling is of at any time, like what we think is a savior, or what you in the U.S. think is a savior, it's all scripted. You, like, it's like our prime minister in Canada. Well,
Trudeau.
He's a well-known son of a goddamn communist that sold Canada out to the banks.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much difference, man.
Yeah.
Like, all we've got to do is, like, look at what is real. And Donald Trump is real? I don't think so. I think that he's floated out there because they know that Hillary's going to jail, or that Jeb Bush cannot be elected because of his criminal associations in past.
I'm not so sure Hillary's going to jail.
Well,
I think the system is so corrupt that, who knows who, I think it's open season. I don't even know if there's anybody up there in the cesspit we call DC that is, decent enough to, to even just have basic, you know, right and wrong in their minds. It's that crazy. And if you do, you stand out, you're going to get hit, you're going to get ruined or whatever, ran out of town, whatever.
Oh yeah, you'll be destroyed if you go against them. But my point is that, I don't think Donald Trump is anything more than, a young Obama coming onto the stage.
Like, all right, John. Thanks for the call, man. Let me get to these other folks. Let's take Rick in Nevada. Rick, how's it going, man?
Yeah. Hello, Rob.
Hi.
Yeah, see, you know, I'm kind of confused. Yeah, nobody in the alternative media said one word about the four Jews they arrested for hacking and digitally robbing J.P. Morgan Chase. Somebody called into Stat Miller's show and talked about it, and Stat Miller gave him the cold shoulder. You got any comments why nobody wants to talk about that?
Well, you know, the financial cesspool with J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs and Wall Street, it's just that world is not, it's not probably first and foremost on a guy like me's mind or some other folks. I mean, I'm interested in it. I saw a blurb about it, but I don't know that, you know, that whole world is already such a, it's dominated by the vampires anyway, that I just don't think that kind of stuff necessarily, you know, if you're really into the financial sector and that's what part of your job is and that sort of thing, you know, it's really something about what we gravitate towards in news and information and that sort of thing. That's all I think it is. I mean, John's into a lot of economic stuff. I can't answer for John, but me,
nobody out there cared about it. And as far as, you know, look at, they're giving you Muslim terror on the TV, but over here in the States, the FBI is arresting and harassing Jews. Just take a look what's going on. They're arresting Fogel. They went after these four guys. Everybody that's being persecuted for being white is Jewish.
That's cool. Hey, good. Jewish criminals need to go to jail just like any other criminals, and they shouldn't be some protected class. So that's good. If we could break the media up, man, that would be so nice to where you could get like a big NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox away from this mafia and then put out real information. That's where we could really, you know, unplug minds. But I don't see people going after the media sector.
Apparently they don't. Okay. Thank you.
See ya. Let's take, Dave in California. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Robert. I just found a couple of clips, one with Obama talking about ISIL. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It was in 2015. Both of these clips will last like 35 seconds. Can I play them real fast? They're that fast, 30 seconds, and I'll be done. Maybe say one thing after that.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar Province.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, I played that last week.
So
go ahead.
Additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including...
Hey, there's the break. Hold it. We'll hold on for a second.
Yes, we're fighting against...
All right, folks, we're back. Last segment. We've got a few minutes left. We're talking to Ed in Chicago. Yeah, Ed, the clip you were playing, I played a few times last week where Obama admits
David.
That he got caught on a mic doing a Freudian slip. Yeah, we've been training ISIL forces. Yeah, I played that a few times last week.
The John McCain says ISIS for sure. He says, yes, we're training ISIS. So that's all I wanted to say. Let other callers come on.
Okay, right on.
By the way, Young, Jewish, and Proud. You ever see them kids? The Jewish kids, mostly Americans?
I don't know.
Well, they blast the settlements and all that stuff. They really almost made me cry. They're really in the right place with their heart. They say they're proud of being Jewish, but they don't like this crap in our name. We don't want this crap going on.
Yeah, really, I mean, there is this movement among some younger Jewish people, and a lot of them are actually on the left side of the political spectrum.
Sure.
To where they're like, you know what? What's going on here is absolutely ridiculous. This psychopathic ethnic cleansing that's been going on. And you know, they're getting their hands on real information, and they're not on that intellectual plantation that basically the rabbis and the money changers want to keep them on.
Well, they take the trips with Adelson and all that, but then they see through the crap. You know, they'll take the free money going to Israel, to romance them how great Israel is, and then they'll come back and say, hey, you know, we like the good things about it, but not this crap. Anyway,
exactly.
That's about, I'll let other people come on. You know?
All right, thanks, man. See ya. Okay. Let's take Ed in Chicago. Ed, you'll be the last caller. We only got a couple minutes left.
Richard, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Real quick, I think our message should be organize, equip, train, and arm as militia.
You know,
all this bullshit is so many lies, deception. How do we know what's really the truth? Let's get together, organize, train, equip.